You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of January. Happy Inauguration Day as the Jazz are brilliant. They've won six straight. We'll look at what was so great about their performance last night against the Pelicans. The Jazz are in rarefied air with their three-point shooting. And we'll possibly look around the rest of the NBA of how other teams are playing in this COVID-stricken season. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Jazz just boat raced the New Orleans Pelicans last night. They look great doing it. They have won six straight. They are shooting an inordinate amount of threes. It's kind of awesome. And they're really good at it. And they're moving the ball and they're playing together. And they're having the most prolific three-point shooting stretch in the history of the NBA right now. We'll dig into all of that today. There's a bunch of aspects to what they're doing that are different than anything we've ever seen in the NBA before. So I think that's, and there are a few teams. There's some interesting trends. We're going to have to keep an eye on it. So I have a deep dive on that. But I want to dig into last night's performance. The Jazz were just outstanding. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about the three-point shooting a lot. But in the first quarter of the game, the Jazz defensive rating was 100. When our defensive rating is 100, we win. Like 90, it's over. Like we talked about that the other day. 100, we'll win. Our offensive rating was great too. It was a 126, but it was 100. Our defensive rating in the first half was 100 again. So first quarter, second quarter, we held them to flat out 1 point a possession. Through three quarters, our defensive rating was a 97.2. All right, let me make sure for those that are new to the show, like what the hell is he talking about? What's defensive rating? Hopefully you said hack, not you're not a heathen like me. The league average offensive rating, the 15th ranked team in the league right now is about 109. The league average will be 110 by the time we're done. That means that if you have 100 offensive possessions, you will score 110 points. The best in the league last year was the Dallas Mavericks. They were the best ever at 116. The next closest was 113. The worst in the league last year was the Warriors at 104. But really, just about everybody was at about 107. So offensive ratings, other than the three or four worst teams in the league, and Dallas last year, who kind of like set the world on fire, fell between 107 and 113. Not a lot of margin. Like 6 points per 100 possessions is kind of good versus bad. This is why, honestly, this is why math and three-point shooting and some of the things we're doing matter so much, because the difference between being last year, being the 26th ranked offensive team in the league, and the second was 6 points per 100 possessions. So if you can move that meter like 1 point here or there, it really matters if you do it in multiple places. So last night, through three quarters, and we're blowing them out at this point, our defensive rating is a 97. I'll go do some, I've been trying to build a program that tells me what it is every single time we go under 100. We win. In the fourth quarter, we let off the gas a little bit. We threw the ball around. We committed a bunch of turnovers. We did some silly stuff. I'm not going to worry about the turnovers on nights where we have an offensive rating like last night. And our defensive rating, it was a 127. Okay? So it gets misleading because in blowout time last night, we like let it get away. And but through three quarters last night, our defensive rating, I know we want to talk about three-point shooting. It's a lot more fun, and what we're doing is prolific, but this is the story of the night. And more importantly, when Brandon Ingram was on the floor, the Pelicans' offensive rating was a 93, their best offensive player. The Jazz defensive ratings last night, Mike Conley has just been amazing this year. Through three quarters, when Mike Conley was on the floor last night, our defensive rating was an 82.6. When Rudy Gobert was on the floor last night for the first three quarters, despite the fact Zion scored over him like three times, an 85.1. Let's remember this. When Zion scores over Rudy on a two-pointer that he contests, and then they miss two in a row, it's 1-for-3. Like, Rudy can't throw a shutout. But, like, teams don't shoot well when Rudy's around them. Last night, the Pelicans shot about as well as anyone has all year against Rudy. They were 10 of 18 shooting when Rudy defended the shot. It's about as well as any, and yet they did not have a good night. We just crushed them. We also crushed them with like shot selection and style of play last night. They took, last I checked, and let's get it officially right because this number is so outrageous. They took 36 non-restricted area twos last night. 36. We took 10. We took 47 threes. They took 26. I don't think you can lose a game when you take 20 more threes than your opponent. I just don't. We took 17 corner threes. They took one. It's absurd. Remind you the math. Again, if you're new to this, I like math. You guys know that. But let's remind you the math. When you shoot at the rim, it's 1.3 points per shot. When you take a corner three, it's 1.2 points per shot. When you take an above the break three, it's a 1.1 points per shot. And when you take anything that's not at the rim, that's a two, it's basically 0.8 points per shot. The other way, free throw 1.4, rim 1.3, corner three 1.2, above the break 1.1, and then dip all the way to 0.8. So last night, when we're taking 17 corner threes at 1.2 points per shot, and every single time they're not taking a corner three, they're basically taking a mid-range jumper at 1.8. If we do that 17 times in a given night, each time that's a 0.4 advantage to us. If it's an average shot, that's like 7 points a night. We just talked about how the difference between being the worst and the best is like 6 points. It's crazy. Crazy impact on the game last night. Shot quality last night. This is exactly it. According to Second Spectrum, shot quality last night. If we had just hit the average percentage of all of our shots and they hit the average of all of their shots, we would have shot 57.5% and they would have shot 50%. Just if we all just made the shots we took average. Turns out they had a less than good shooting night. Most people do against us. And we had a good shooting night because we're really good shooters. And we went ahead and decided to shoot 55% of our shots as threes last night, which should be the next thing we should get into. We had 18 assisted three-point shots last night. Okay, I know there's a lot of talk about the 14 turnovers, and we had 8 live ball turnovers last night, and I only like to talk about live ball turnovers, so just look at the other team's steals. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, I know I'm supposed to be bothered by something. I can't do it. I cannot be bothered on a night where our offensive rating was a 128 in the 90th percentile that we happen to turn the ball over 15% of the time, which is a little worse than league average. I'm just not bothered by it. Maybe I should be, and it's going to cause us a problem eventually, but I cannot, in the whole picture of things, look at our 8 steals that we gave up, 8 live ball turnovers, look at our offensive rating and say it bothers me. We were that good last night. Nothing bothers me. They were beeping awesome last night. Shot distribution, defense, ball movement, and shooting. Just terrific. And we're so good in transition. We're the number one offense in the NBA in transition right now, and we did it again last night at 1.5 points per transition. and we're in transition so much more than we used to. Quinn Snyder had a really, really interesting comment on that in our coach's show yesterday. I'm going to give that to you when we come back, and then we're going to dig into some of the things the Jazz are going to do, talk about some other aspects. Mike Conley's just great right now. I just don't even know how to talk about how good Mike Conley is. All right, we'll touch on all those things coming back here in a second, hear from Quinn Snyder as well on his comments in regards to why the Jazz are so much better in transition. And then I've got a theory for you that I want to share. Today's show is brought to you in part by my friends over at InterCap Lending. Steve Carter is just a great dude. It's such a pleasure for me to be able to represent InterCap Lending, because what's really cool is when people email me and say, hey, who's that guy? And then I just set him up with Steve, and immediately it happens. That's what Jason emailed me this weekend. I love your podcast network. Hey, question, I'm with InterCap, but I live in Kentucky. And next thing you know, Steve Carter, I connect him, Steve Carter within, it was within 18 minutes has emailed Jason, says, I'm licensed in Kentucky, would love to help you. I can do out of state as well. And then I know that the experience Jason's going to get is amazing, because Steve Carter is just remarkable. Like, you just meet these special dudes along the way. Brock and the company deserves a lot of credit. I don't want to dismiss what they do as well, because what they really have done so beautifully at InterCap is they've built up this great culture, and those things certainly matter a tremendous, tremendous amount, and I in no way want to diminish that. But Steve Carter's really a special guy. You can give him a call at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Make sure you tell him you're with Locked On Jazz, and then you'll get the corporate discount. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Today's show is also brought to you by my good friends over at Built Bar. That's right. Built Bar, protein bar, candy bar. Hard to tell the difference when we're talking about Built Bar. And the macros would make you believe that maybe it has to be a protein bar. But the taste would make you believe it might be a candy bar. You won't believe your mouth. And right now, you get a free 9-pack box of Built Go with every purchase of an 18-bar box purchase. Plus, you got the promo code Locked On. Coconut's fabulous. Raspberry, I'll be digging in here in just a few minutes. We did the taste test at home. Peanut butter brownie won in the nut category. So make sure you go to Built Bar right now and enter in the promo code Locked On. Get your 20% off. BuiltBar.com. Promo code Locked. And the macros are amazing. Calories, 130. Fat grams, just 2.5. Carbs, just 4 grams. Sugar, just 4 grams, while getting 17 grams of protein. It's all at Built Bar. All right, so I mentioned it to you a moment ago that I asked Quinn Snyder in the coach's show yesterday, how is it that you've gone from being, you know, last year we were not only not in transition, but we were last in the league in efficiency in transition. And now all of a sudden, the Jazz have become an elite team in what they're doing in transition. So here's what Quinn had to say in the coach's show yesterday.
We're shooting. You know, I think sometimes, you know, attacking the rim is obviously, if you can get to the rim, that's the best thing, you know, get to the rim, get to the fouling. But, you know, oftentimes when the defense is more set and they're clogging the paint, you know, being willing to throw the ball, we say throw it ahead, throw it across, and throw it up high. And, you know, those early passes in transition, our guys are running and getting space. So, transition, you think of a guys who just run into the rim. And, you know, we want our bigs to do that, and we want to space the floor, and, you know, we want to take open shots. So I think that's helped us.
What's throw it across?
Just a skip pass across the court. It's just a sequence of reads. You know, think of an NFL quarterback. You know, you're checking down on different reads on different receivers is the best way to think about it. So you can pass it ahead, you can pass it over the top to the bigs, and you can pass it, skip pass it, pass it across the court. And all three of those things are, if you're running and you have numbers, that's, you know, that spacing is one of the things that generates efficiency.
And the Jazz spacing is just brilliant right now. That's a huge part of what's going on. When you watch them, I did a thing on TV and I rewatch them. When they're running the floor and they're in transition, they're spacing the floor and they're getting looks that they did not get in the past. And that is why they are the number one transition team in the league right now. They are also the number one team at three-point shots in transition. So this is a large part of how we're getting our transition. We're averaging 1.45 points per transition right now, according to Cleaning the Glass. Is we're getting out and we're running for three. I'm trying to think of what else to talk about last night. We were just so good. And I think it's going to be fascinating. We got a great coach in Stan Van Gundy on the other side. It's going to be really interesting to watch what they do to try to counter. You can't give up 18 corner threes. I mean, that's just a ridiculous number that the Jazz had last night. The Jazz shot chart last night is just a thing of beauty. We threw 326 passes last night. Like, we are not losing games when we're moving the ball at that level. And just everything worked pretty beautifully last night. Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert's pick and roll stuff is just awesome. You know, one other note on last night I thought was really interesting, I guess, was late in the game, Quinn Snyder just kind of kept running Donovan Mitchell working on a play. They have so little practice time last night that what Quinn was able to do last night late in that game when we were ahead by a lot was leave Donovan in to work with Derek Favors. Those two have not connected yet very well on the pick and roll. And so you saw him literally leave him in the game last night to work on how he was going to be able to get them to try to vibe and get some together. So Quinn's using the final minutes of that game last night as practice time. It's pretty interesting. The last one on last night that I was going to bring up before we get into some other stuff is, so what Oklahoma City was doing is they were hedging the pick and roll of Steven Adams. A lot of the way Oklahoma City used to play with Adams. So Rudy would come off the pick and then Adams would, or their other big Jackson Hayes would come out and cut off Conley's drive to the basket. That would have two guys on the ball. Rudy would roll. They'd have to bring an inside guy or have to bring a guy to Rudy. And then Conley would go find the next pass, which was to the open guy, because another guy, there were two guys now on Conley, one guy and Rudy, somebody's open, we'd find that pass, they'd drive, kick, and then we're just moving the ball, passing 300 and whatever times, 18 assisted threes. Like, that's the script. It's pretty basic and pretty simple, and it will be interesting to see how they adapt to it. One thing that's interesting about that, and it shows how adaptable we are, is Rudy had one screen assist all of last night. Because we weren't getting the direct action out of the screen because they were taking away Rudy's role and they were not allowing our ball handler to be able to come through and make the play that he might want to regularly traditionally make. So far this year, our pick and roll ball handler is 10th in the league in offensive efficiency and our pick and roll man is 4th. So you're trying to take those things away from us, but we're the 7th best spot up team in the league too. Like, it's hard to guard us right now. And our defense is better. Like, our defense is now ranked right where it should be. And the defense last night, to me, was the story. All right, here's the other thought I wanted to have. I brought this up on the broadcast with Ron last night. I think I might have brought it up on postcast last night. It's one of, you know, you have these conversations with people. They're pretty interesting. And now you wonder about them. So I was talking with John Hollinger last year at a game. And he was talking about what the Houston Rockets have done. And at the time, the Houston Rockets were shooting, you know, 46% of their shots as threes. They shot 49% of their shots as threes in 18-19, 47 and 17-18 and 44. So they've been in that range. And what John's comment was the beauty of what they've done is they've taken not particularly good three-point shooters. They've told them that their only job on the planet is to shoot threes. And in turn, they generally get the maximum of their three-point shooting. That was the theory. Was that when, you know, they go to the gym, they shoot 100 threes a day, and the only thing, or 1,000 threes a day, and the only thing they actually have to do is shoot threes, and then you get someone like Daniel House, who, you know, is in Phoenix, shoots 26% as three, and then goes to Houston and shoots 38% as three, because that's all he ever has to do, is just shoot threes. And, you know, P.J. Tucker's obviously evolved, but P.J. Tucker in Phoenix shot 35% as three, and in Houston in the four seasons has shot 37% from three. So John's theory is, like, you go to Houston after being everywhere else, and we'll give you the optimum. You'll perform at your optimum three-point shooting percentage because of the freedom you have. So Austin Rivers in LA and New Orleans was a 34% three-point shooter. He actually stayed at 34. I'm just kind of looked it up to see if that was the case. I had not done. Ben McLemore is a great example. He couldn't shoot in Sacramento for five seasons. He shoots 35%. He goes to Houston, he's shooting 41. He went to Memphis, he shot 35. So you go to Houston, you get this freedom, and you shoot the optimum percentage you'll ever shoot in your life from three, because that's what you do. So, a really interesting conversation with John. Is there any chance that Quinn has created a similar environment right now for the Jazz? And then, if it is a similar environment with the Jazz, it's under really different circumstances because it's with good shooters. So, purely on a catch-and-shoot level, if you go over the last four years, stand still, catch and shoot, Donovan's the second-best player in the NBA behind Joe Harris. Boyan ranks 24th. There's 151 guys who qualify for this. 260 attempts. Donovan's second. Boyan's 24th. Royce is 30th. Joe's 39th. Jordan Clarkson's 41st. Conley and Niang don't qualify. Conley would be like about 10th, and Niang would be 40th. Here's the stunning number for you. Effective field goal percentage is the statistic that equates for 2 points as though every three was a two. So if you shoot threes, it's like points per shot's a better way to think about it. But here, we'll do points per shot. League average, we just talked about. It's 1.1 point. Average possession in the league is 1.1, right? We talked about that. Okay? Donovan on a catch and shoot three is 1.4 points per shot. Mike Conley on a catch and shoot is a 68% effective field goal percentage, which is 1.36 points per shot. Basically 1.4. Bojan Bogdanović, 1.4 points per shot. Crazy. 1.3 points per shot for Bojan. Donovan, 1.4. Conley, 1.4. Bojan, 1.3. Royce, 1.3. Ingles, 1.3. Clarkson, 1.3. Niang, 1.3. Crazy. 1.3. All right, they're 1.25. I'm giving them a reg. Fine, they're 1.2. Fine, they're 1.2. They're 0.1 points better than the average possession in the league. Do that 10 times, it's a point. We get 10 catch and shoots a night, it's a point. It's crazy. We got to get the catch and shoots. We got to be able to play the game we played last night where, you know, they overplay. I mean, that last night's a perfect script for us, right? They overplay the pick and roll with three guys. We roll. I do think the only way you guard us is switch everything. I don't think there's any other way to guard us but to switch everything. All right, what we're doing and what's happening in the league is a bit historical. And I got a fun, and I'll add on to like the catch and shoot numbers here in just a second, just to share with you how good we are. But what we're doing right now is a bit different and a bit historical, and I want to touch on that. Locked On Bets is your daily gambling fun. Really, it's a sports podcast. 15-minute fun sports podcast every single day, hosted by your boy Q, along with handicapper Lee Sterling, give you the insight and expertise on three or four games a night. And where you can place your games, bets, make sure you go get it. And then it's all brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag. And with the promo code Locked On, you can get a 50% welcome bonus. betonline.ag. They have great fun lines too as well. I think I've shared some of them with you over the past, so make sure you go check them out. They had a bunch of lines on who was going to get pardoned. And they had Lil Wayne. They had Lil Wayne on it. They knew it. They were all over it. So go to betonline.ag. Go ahead and get your 50% welcome bonus and get into the action and enjoy the fun involved with sports. And if you obviously have a problem, you can call 1-800-GAMBLING for assistance. It's betonline.ag. Locked On NBA is your daily podcast on the night in action with local experts breaking down all the fun events that are taking place. Last night, catch and shoot, just because last night was ridiculous. Last night, Bojan Bogdanović had 7. Royce O'Neal had 7. He went just 2 for 7. Bojan just went 3 for 7. Joe had 6. He went 5 for 6. Donovan had 5. George Niang had 5. Jordan Clarkson had 5. Mike Conley only had 1. That is insanity. I mean, you can't play us like that. That's just bad coaching, frankly. 36 catch and shoot 3-point opportunities last night for the Jazz. We will not see that. Thursday is going to be fascinating. 36. Okay, for the season, here's our numbers on catch and shoot threes. Donovan, 51%. Come on, stupid. Clarkson, 49%. O'Neal, 48%. Remember, times by 3 for points per shot. Mione, 46. Conley, 45. Ingles, 41. Bojan Bogdanović, 36. George Niang, 35. And those two guys will get to 40. Here's what we're doing that's historical. There are only, prior to this year, there have only been 5 seasons, 4 of which by Houston, 1 of which by Dallas, where a team took 40% of their shots as threes. We are exceeding that right now. What's interesting is there have been 5 seasons in the entire history of the NBA. We're at 44%. We're leading the league right now in 3-point shots. We've taken the most 3-point shots of anyone in the league. Second most corner threes, third most above the break threes. There are 9 teams in the NBA right now taking 40% of their shots as threes. It has only happened 5 times in the history of the league. So that's pretty interesting. Of the 5 teams that have ever taken 40% of their shots as threes, last year Dallas did it, was the greatest offense of all time. And the 4 other times were Houston. Last year they were 9th offensively. Prior to that they were 2nd. They were 1st, and they were 2nd. Okay, so going into this year, the teams have taken 40% of their shots as threes, finished in the 5 years, twice as the number 1 offense, twice as the number 2 offense, and once as the 9th offense. Okay, and we're taking 44% of our shots as threes. There are 9 teams doing that right now. Only one of these 5 teams ever had a top 10 defense. Houston in 17-18 is the only team to ever take 40% of their shots as threes and also have a top 10 defense. They won 65 games. Now, they were the number 2 offense in the league. I don't think we're getting there. We don't go to the free throw line enough. And Harden's uniqueness is he went to the free throw line a lot. Okay, but no one's done this with a top level defense. You know what else no one's done this with? Good shooters. What? So Dallas last year made 37% of their threes while taking 42% of their shots as threes. They made 37%. It was 12th in the league. Nobody has ever taken 40% of their threes, shots as threes, and made over 40% of them. Or made over 37% of them. No one. Ever. Well, last year, the Utah Jazz were the number 1 3-point shooting team in the league at 38.6%. So it's fair to say the same guys are likely to shoot above 37%. Now, maybe not. Maybe we'll get cold. Maybe taking this many more. But it doesn't feel that way. So no team in the history of the game has ever taken 40% of their shots as threes and ever made over 37%. The one team that took over 40% of their shots as threes and made 37% was the greatest offense ever in the history of the game. That was Dallas with Luka, and they went to the free throw line. So they're going to be better, probably offensively, than we were. Free throws are the most efficient shots. But it means that we very likely could be a top 10 offense this way without a lot of difficulty, right? They went to the free throw line at the 12th most of any team in the league last year. We're like 29th, so that's going to prevent it. Dallas did. They were the fourth best shooting team, third best team at not turning it over, 12th best offensive rebounding team. And took 42% of their shots and threes and hit 37%. No team has ever done better than that. We're on the verge of that. There's actually nine teams, as I said, doing it right now. Milwaukee's also shooting 40%. Portland's shooting 38% and Phoenix is shooting 38%. So there are four teams in the league right now that are doing something that's never been done before. Our offensive rating has us eighth in the league. Milwaukee is second, Portland is sixth, and Phoenix is ninth. Pretty good script right there. Go take over 40% of your shots as threes, make over 37% of them. Pretty clear you're going to have a top 10 defense. Because the fact of the matter is there's only been five teams in the history of the NBA that have ever taken over 40% of their shots as threes. And because they did go to the free throw line a lot, I want to make sure that's really clear. Houston made 35%. They had the 14th rank. They had the 7th best offense. They made 36%. They had the 2nd best offense. They made 36.9%. They had the 1st best offense. And they made 36%. They had the second best offense. Nobody has ever taken the rate of three-point shots that we're taking with good shooters. Dallas got rid of Seth Curry, was their best shooter, and now all of a sudden they're not as good offensively. They've also been struck by COVID, so we'll have to keep an eye on it. But it's pretty interesting. And nobody in the history of the NBA has ever had as prolific a stretch of three-point shooting games as what the Utah Jazz have right now. The Utah Jazz have now hit 23-point shots in three of their last four games. No one has ever done that in the history of the game, and no one's ever done it in four times in the last six games. Or no one has exceeded that. Let me rephrase that. The Rockets had a stretch that was somewhat similar. Tim McMahon had the official number last night, and I'm trying to see if I can find it, but I probably can't. I'll have to look up and see if I can find his tweets later. But, I mean, we are in rarefied air of what we're doing. Keep it. Enjoy it. It's fun. Let's see what happens. We'll try to get together with Jake Madison tomorrow for a crossover playing the Pelicans a second time. Talk to you soon.